This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the week ending 14 September 2018. Well, first of all, a little housekeeping. I am back on the Yeti mic, which I have had for quite some time. And the last two weeklies that I did, I apologize. It went to my webcam microphone, operator error. I'll leave it at that. Back on the Yeti, so the sound quality should be back where it was for several of these previous weeklies. I want to start this week slightly different, and I'm going to use a quote about real wealth. And that quote for this weekly is, "Love makes you the richest person in the world, no matter how poor you are. The most valuable things in your life are always the things that money cannot buy. If they ask you how rich you are, tell them, look inside your heart. The universe offers you three things that money cannot buy: joy, love, and life." End of quote. So back to reality, and that is very real, excuse me, but back to the doom part of this, which isn't a pleasure, but it's reality. Bloomberg, $250 trillion in debt, the world's post-Lehman legacy. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this article is one you should look up. And of course, it's what I go over every week, so I'll skim through it pretty quickly. But the world is $250 trillion in debt, and the debt has climbed substantially from the 2008 crisis at about $170 trillion to now $250. So over the last 10 years, where things have purportedly gotten better and all this stuff that we hear in the mainstream financial press really isn't true. So that is the dilemma, that we keep hearing how great things are, but the reality is that we're deeper and deeper in debt. And looking at different sectors, non-financial corporations really haven't increased their debt that much. Households, financial corporations, and government, of course, continue to increase their debt. China, that we all talk about, has moved substantially from about $7 trillion in debt to about $40 trillion in debt over the last 10 years. So very much caught the Keynesian disease, learned how it's finance on low interest rates, and just the sky's the limit. And of course, they have bought into the whole economic paradigm that you can borrow yourself rich. And of course, they've made infrastructure and lots of things physically that are beneficial to their overall production rate. There's no doubt about that. But they haven't been prudent in doing so, not in the last 10 years anyway. Continuing on that same thing from Charles Hugh Smith, the next financial crisis is right on schedule, 2019. After 10 years of unprecedented goosing, some of the real economy is finally overheating. Costs are heating up, unemployment is at historic lows, small business optimism is high, and so on. All classic indicators that the top of the cycle is in. Financial assets have been goosed to record highs in the everything bubble. Buy the dip has worked in stocks, bonds, and real estate. What's not to like? Beneath the surface, the frantic goosing has planted seeds of financial crisis, which have sprouted and are about to blossom with devastating effect. These are two related systems-level concepts which illustrate the coming crisis, the S-curve and the linear curve. And if you read down in the article, what you find is we've basically had a huge expansion, the longest ever, and the expansion really hasn't produced that much true economic wherewithal for the average person. Yes, there are exceptions, but generally speaking, a whole lot of money was printed without a whole lot of result. And now we're in the declining phase, and the financialization that has kept interest rates low to basically have a central authority that controls things to let us know what the price of money should be rather than let the market determine that. We have got a lot of misallocation of capital that has taken place over the last decade. So now we're getting to the point where, by any metric you want to measure, we are probably 6 months to a year and a half out for a recession based on the yield curve and everything else that we see. And of course, Charles goes through a lot of it in this article. So I'll leave it at that. Be prepared. It's probably not day after tomorrow, but we probably will see something manifest before the end of this year that even the mainstream press will have to talk about. And also, I expect to see the precious metals start to catch a bottom here fairly soon and start to work their ways higher by the end of the year. I'm just going to read a few more headlines here. These are all from, some are mainstream, some are alternative, but they all can be found on the web. Australia's banking system may be the bloody big butterfly which triggers the next financial storm. I went through this in detail and I sent it to Prep Aussie, which I just did an interview with about 3 weeks ago. Unfortunately, he lost the interview. And it was about an hour-long interview. He just asked if I'd do another one. I probably will. But basically, this article is about how much of the subprime loan shenanigans that went on in the United States are going on in Australia, and actually, in some cases, even worse. That's the basics of the article. War on cash. America moves closer to being a cashless society. On the energy front, wind energy reaching the turning point as turbines age. The North American wind industry is reaching a turning point in 3 years when the industry begins to spend more on operations and maintenance than it spends on installing new wind turbines. There's a lot to this article, but a lot of these alternative energies, although they sound good, they sound green, they sound like it's sustainable and all these things that we want, the reality is it's just simply not true. It's not true at all. And that's unfortunate, but that is, again, reality. And so this green business takes a lot of oil, a lot of diesel, a lot of conventional energy to make these turbines, to transport them to the location. Then they wear out, so you got to drive a truck or a maintenance crew out there. You either have to remove and replace a bad part, take it down, start over, junk it or whatever. So the whole idea of sustainable energy is a wonderful one. We just haven't achieved it yet. And on food, the BBC reported global hunger increasing. The United Nations warns the number of people suffering from hunger has increased during the past 3 years. After years of decline, a UN report suggests, according to the analysis, 821 million people globally were undernourished in 2017, about one person in every nine. This is unacceptable to almost anybody, but there's really a lot of reasons behind this, and I won't go into them at this point, but it is something that's not going to only hit the poorer nations, I believe, with wheat crops and ags, and what's going on with the petrochemical industry and everything else, that we are going to see a shortage, or let's say a tightening of the food supply over the next 3 years or so that will affect just about everyone. Now, the richer nations, all they'll see basically is an increase in prices. But other nations will continue down the path I just mentioned. So, and as I try to every weekly, and that is with something about gold and silver. And as we all know, gold and silver have been hammered, especially silver. I've got the national debt clock up here because it's always fun to look at the national debt situation. And of course, here we are at this $21 trillion and counting. And of course, if we come over here and we look at the price of silver and gold, it is very interesting what we see. What we have here is the dollar to silver ratio of $622 per ounce. And if you do it on gold, it is $4,894 per ounce. So even the debt clock will show you how much paper is printed versus the amount of silver available or the amount of gold available. Paper to silver ratio now 180.6 to 1, and of course paper to gold 89.22 to 1. So they are undervalued. I will be writing, I've been asked quite a bit by our members about platinum and whether it's a good buy relative to itself or gold. And we've gone, jumped into that study and probably 3/4 of the way through it. One of the things that was interesting to me is that the millennials actually have become a bit of a platinum fan base because of the royal wedding recently, where, of course, the tiara was platinum and they were using platinum wedding bands and all that. So anyway, I will go through that in the next issue of the Morgan Report. I'll wrap it up for this week. Remember, let my passion create your wealth. Sign up for a membership at themorganreport.com.
This is The Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.